Good morning. It's good to see you all. Paul, good job. Paul soloed this morning for the first time back on the soundboard and the slides, so appreciate that. And Ron, thanks for your words. Just, these guys are getting better and better at kind of setting the stage, so I really appreciate that happens. You know, one of our challenges with this potluck today, and we're going to start doing this on a regular basis, is that, it's after the second service. So I'm really hoping that some of you hanging around or your plan is to go back and grab something and come back, or if you forgot all about it, just come back, because what we recognize is we need more opportunities to come together as the body and just enjoy each other. And that's really the idea. There's no agenda at that potluck today except just to hang together and talk and get to know each other better. So come on back. We're going to start off by looking at a passage this morning, and we're going to share in communion. And just let me talk a little bit about this passage. And one thing too is, if there's a guest here, you may say, okay, now what have I gotten myself into? Because every church kind of does this differently. And so just here's how we do this. Here's how we're going to do this is when the time comes, we're going to have some of our men are going to bring the bread, the cup out, and if you're comfortable taking the communion, then you can take some. If not, just let it pass, but you won't have to leave your seat or anything. But in 1 Corinthians 10, I'm going to talk a little bit about this, and I'll stick a passage up in a moment. But it's interesting. Paul starts off. He's talking. Remember, this is a letter he's written to the Christians in Corinth, and he starts off by talking about going back into the Israelites' history, and he says, here was the reality: the Israelites, God delivered them from slavery. They were in slavery to Egypt. They had been for, 400 years, and it had gotten more cruel as time progressed, especially the further the way they got from Pharaoh when Joseph was alive. And so as they forgot Joseph, it got harder and harder on them, and so God delivers them through Moses. And what's interesting, and here's what Paul talks about, is it at first there is just real relief, real excitement, real gratitude. But as time passes, the luster wears off, and it doesn't take too long for them to forget how important that was to them. And actually forget to the point, and this is where he heads, is to the point where they start worshiping other things. For a period of time after that delivery from God, man, they were all about him. But after a while, their detention got divided, and it wasn't too long till all these other things crowded into their life, and God became just an add-on. One of the things that, and maybe for many, a very small part of their life, and so that's the lead up to the verse that we're going to read, that I want to read together right now, as we get ready to share in communion, because that's leading up to this whole perspective. And so then Paul says to him, "Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry." And maybe you've never connected idolatry and communion together. But Paul does here. He says, flee from idolatry. Don't be like the Israelites. I speak to sensible people. I think that's there's an assumption there. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks our participation in the blood of Christ? And here's what he's saying. He's saying, one of the reasons for why we do this is to remind us to be grateful. Gratitude is so important for keeping us on track with our relationship with God. And like I said, it's easy. You can think back. Maybe some of you, it's been so long ago, but you think back when you first finally understood God's heart for you. I had a conversation this week that God just opened the door for, and I got to talk to a lady and a young woman, and she's never known a God that loves you. Her whole experience with God was a God that was angry and cruel and demanding. And so we just got to have this conversation, and I got to talk to her about what the Word of God says about the heart of God, and start helping her rethink that. And so maybe you can remember when you finally understood that, and You understood that his offer of forgiveness was because he wanted a relationship with you, and you responded to that. And it depended on, you know, some of us, depending on your background, maybe that was just a kind of a natural thing because you were brought up in a good home and had always been a pretty good person. But for some of, you know, maybe you, for you, it was like, wow, this is unbelievable. I never thought God could love me. And there was so much gratitude. But it's just like anything else. After a while, if we're not careful, it starts to lose its luster. We start to forget. And so that's what Paul's saying. That's part of why we do this, is to rejuvenate the gratitude. And so I'm going to ask men come up, I've asked Lee and Ron and Al if they'd come up, and we're going to do this. If you're paying attention, usually when we do communion, we serve the bread first, because that's the way we're told it happened that evening with Jesus. But since Paul, in this conversation, introduced the cup first, the cup of thanksgiving, the cup that reminds us to be grateful, and that this is a time where we say, Lord, I am so thankful for what you have done for me, that I can be actually called your child, that I can call you my father. I'm so grateful. And so we're going to do the cup first this morning. And before we do, I'm going to ask, Ron, do you mind praying for us with the cup? He gave his disciples the cup and they drank it. Let's do the same. We have baskets up here if you want to. We can just pass them. And he goes on then. And he says, is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there's one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. So he says another thing that this time is to remind us of is the fact that we are now family. We're a body. You know, it's interesting. He'll go on in chapter 11, and that's where he gets into, and he's leading up to this. This is all a conversation leading up to a hard conversation with the Corinth church, because their communion, their time of sharing in what we're sharing in, had become very dishonoring to God. You remember they would have, they had turned it into a feast. They'd have a meal together, but it had become just an open expression of disregard for each other, because those who had plenty brought plenty, but then they would kind of get in their little corner of the room and they'd eat, and they'd all eat to their fill. And then there are the people that were struggling would have kind of their little corner, and they get to watch everybody else eat. And it had become just so different from the heart of God. And so he said another part of this is to remind us that we strive for unity. We guard unity. We protect the body. And it's not just True North Church. You know, the body of Christ in our community. I don't, you know, you honor, not every Sunday, but a lot of Sundays as I'm driving my 15 minutes to church, part of what I'm doing is I'm praying for the churches in the community, asking God to give their pastors the courage to speak the truth, and that those bodies will come together and love each other. And so this is that part of what he says. This is a reminder of the fact that we are now the body of Christ. We're the family, and as family, we love each other, we protect each other, we encourage each other. We lift each other up. That's all part of what this is. And this is to remind us of how important that is. Al, would you mind praying for us before we give the bread?
Sure will. Father, thank you is not enough, obviously. The ultimate.
Lord gave his disciples bread and they ate it. Let's do the same. Thank you. Since our existence as True North Church, this time of year, we have always spent some time taking a step back and kind of rethinking, reminding ourselves of who we are as a church. It's interesting, the book of Acts is a book that records the history of the beginning of the church. It talks about those early days and how, and in fact in Acts 2 it talks about that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit, as had been promised, actually 600 years prior to that, Isaiah had said that he would come when the Holy Spirit would come and actually indwell the followers of God and live within them. God would live within them, and the beginning of that was on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, and then it records that day as Peter, the coward, prior to this experience. Remember the guy who said three times, I don't know anything about him, I don't know who he is, even to a little girl, he couldn't stand up to a little girl. Now he stands up, proud of people, and openly proclaims who Christ is, the resurrected Christ. But then throughout that book, it's talking, and a lot of it is about the transition of as it went from the Jews who thought they had the corner on God to them finally understanding what the Messiah was about, and a number of them coming to Christ, but then especially bringing the Gentiles, us, into that fold, into the church, and bringing them together. It's a very interesting book. It's one of my favorites. But in Acts 21, this verse here, we come to the culmination of that first day. And he says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And the elders and us and myself, we were talking recently at one of our meetings about, man, can you imagine? You know, we try to be organized. We try to think these things through. In fact, I'm going to talk a little bit about that process for us when we were first starting about becoming a church. But you know, they had no clue going into that day that the end of the day they're going to be dealing with a church of 3,000 people. I can't even imagine. And you know, how do you organize for that? You don't. You just say, okay, God, here we go, you know, and help us to do the best we can. And there's a lot of that goes on, a lot even more. You know, I think sometimes if we're not careful, and I'm not talking just True North Church, but any church, if we're not too careful, we try to box God in as to how he's going to work and how he's supposed to function. And that's always a dangerous place to get. But so this morning, here's just what we're going to do in the remainder of our time. We're going to walk back, and I'm going to talk us back through just who we are as a church, and remind us of things that we try to mention, probably not enough, but just kind of walk us through it. So we'll start here. You know, you might wonder, some of you, if you come in here to our church in recent years, you've noticed that when you get coffee from Harley-Davidson Thermals. And you may not have ever noticed this, but this stool that I sit on has that wonderful symbol on it. Harley-Davidson, and you're thinking, okay, what is that about? I know this pastor guy rides a motorcycle, but that's really not what it's about. You who were there in the very beginning, you remember we started as a Bible study upstairs in the Harley dealership. That's where that comes from. You know, so there's an affection in our background that they opened the doors for us. The owner at the time was part of this church family and has since moved to Colorado, but she opened the doors and said, we can meet upstairs. In fact, she was part of why that study started. And so we started meeting as a Bible study and walking through the Word of God together and thinking through, you know, who we're supposed to be. And then it wasn't too long after that we started just really asking God, some of us, you know, what do you got in mind here? What's your heart? What, you know, are we to stay a Bible study, which is fine if that's what you want, or do you have more in mind? And so about to begin with, about four or five of us guys one Saturday morning met at Perkins Restaurant, which became a regular meeting, and started praying about that, started talking through and thinking through, you know, what are we supposed to do? And as we prayed and as we thought about it, we just really sensed that God was moving us in the direction of becoming a church. That there was, you know, you think about, we think, well, we have some good churches in town, and we do. But when you still start adding up the seats and you think about the population of Grand Island, you suddenly realize even if every church was filled to its max, there would be thousands and thousands and thousands of people that still are not a part of a church body. And bigger than that, that's really not the deal. The deal is, haven't heard about the love of God, the good news. And so we sense that certainly there was room for another light in our community. And so we prayed and began to talk more about it. I'm getting older. I confused some of the facts, so some of others might be able to clear them up. But as we did, we started thinking of what does that look like. And at the same time, we're getting more and more crowded in that upstairs room in Harley, and started recognizing that we need to do something different. And about that time, my son-in-law Chad, who was here, remember a few weeks ago, and we support their ministry. He told me he had a friend that actually he knew from back east that had just moved out to Colorado Springs and was a part of a church plant, a church beginning. And they were meeting in a mall, and so we talked about maybe we ought to go talk to this pastor and find out, you know, how they've done it. What steps did they take? What does it mean to become a church plant? How do you become a church in a mall? You know, how does all this happen? Because we're pretty convinced if we move this direction, we're not going to have a building for a long time. So we set up an appointment. And I think that actually our first Bible study up in the Harley was February 21st, 2016, if you want to kind of get context there. And so this was probably into March. We hoped that we would go to visit this pastor in April. That didn't work out. I think it was early May. But finally we got out there and we got to, and here was the plan. We drove out on a Friday. Or maybe it was, no, yeah, it was, a, it was a, no, we drove out on a Saturday, drove out on a Friday. Saturday, we were hoping to spend the day with the pastor, just see where they meet, talk about the setup and all the, you know, the steps that took to get there and just kind of really have a long conversation of what that means. Saturday morning, we found out that he wasn't going to be able to meet with us that day. And we had sent letters and thought we had it all set up. He wasn't going to be able to meet with us that day. In fact, he could only spare. He would meet with us for supper that night, so he could spare about an hour and a half. I got to tell you, it was Mark Steins, Andrew Linaldi, and myself that were there, and we were pretty disappointed. It's, you know, we have this whole day in front of us. We planned that we were just excited and. And so there was this moment of disappointment, and then we decided, well, let's go get some coffee. So we went to a coffee shop, and we're drinking coffee, and it was like, well, let's write some ideas down. And so we started, we prayed together, we had a prayer, and we said, all right, God, you knew about this. This wasn't a surprise, so we don't want to waste this time, and so help us. We think you're heading us this direction. Help. There's some time here now for us to kind of prayerfully think through it. And so we started praying, and I remember talking and the conversation started taking notes. Andrew Rinaldi took notes. And in fact, we did a little bit of teasing because Andrew and Mark were Android guys, and I was an Apple. So there was a little bit of trash talk that went on because they were sharing things via their equipment and mine wasn't picking it up, and they're just kind of like, oh, come on, can we get it together? So, but we started talking and it wasn't too long till we got into this question. If we're to become a church, what should be our mission? You know, what are we going to be about? And we had our Bibles out in front of us, and so we started just talking through that and walking through that, and pretty soon it was amazing. It was really a God thing, I got to tell you. It was pretty exciting to us because it just started spilling out of us, and we started writing things down, and it wasn't too long till this came out of that conversation. Here's who we should be, and became our mission statement for all to know Jesus Christ. First of all, we want people to get to know our God through His Son. But more than that, we want them to actually experience His power, to know by what He does in their life that He is real, and that He makes a difference, and that He can step in and change lives. And then we want that change and that knowledge to move out. We want to be His image in the world. We want to have an impact in our community. We want to have an impact in our country. And we want to have an impact in other parts of the world with God. And that came out of that meeting. And that's all that day. It was part of that conversation, part of that disappointment where we said, oh man, this isn't working out right. And God says, no, it's working out exactly right. You know, part of what we had done as well is the guys who were in that group and were meeting on Saturday mornings, we'd started reading a book written by Andy Stanley where he expressed his philosophy of ministry. And it was, you know, we didn't agree with everything, still don't agree with everything, but one of the things he had us, he talked about, because as we talked about this whole church thing, in fact, let me just, you know, it's interesting. From that, one of the things we realized, okay, we need to, in fact, we talked about, I think at that meeting, we said, okay, we need to write, someone needs to write a letter, Paul, they looked at me, someone needs to write a letter and kind of express something we can send out to the folks that are part of this Bible study that will kind of express what we think God is doing. And if he wants us to become a church, what that means. And so here's the first draft. I actually looked for you may have it somewhere, but here's the first draft. I know we changed some things, but so here's what we kind of came up with. True North. North according to the Earth's axis. That was from the dictionary. Here was another part of that definition of true north in the dictionary. A clearly defined direction. Another part of it. Another definition, part of the definition, why something truly matters. True North's purpose, according to the Bible, is for all to know Jesus Christ, experience his power, be his image in the world. Okay, so we stuck that mission statement in there. This is our mission. Understanding what Jesus called the great commandment, loving God and loving people. Grand Isle is not in need of another church, at least not least from the common perspective of what people think of when they hear the word. Grand Island needs a church for the unchurched, a place where grace and truth are part of the core values, where you come as you are, and we're glad you're here. Pastor Anley Stanley writes, in the beginning, the church was a gloriously messy movement with a laser-focused message and a global mission. This is at the heart of True North. In fact, at that point, this is at the heart of True North Community Church. We decided that was too many words. To be a safe place for anyone and everyone. A place that points everyone to True North. A place where grace and truth of the scriptures are taught with relevance to life today on planet Earth. If that's what you're looking for, you are invited to join this movement. A body of people committed to living out the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. A people group who understands an intimacy with God through the acceptance of salvation through his Son and are committed to showing his love by our sacrificing our life through connecting, serving, giving, and inviting, all out of a grateful heart for the gift given of an eternal relationship. And so there was the beginning. Formulated in our mind, what do we want to be? And in fact, you know, it's interesting because Andy Stanley had that, we got to borrow that statement, a church for the unchurched. And the more we talked about that, you know, it was one of those things that we really didn't totally disagree with or did not totally agree with Andy Stanley. Because that's not what we saw in Scripture as far, we changed it a little bit. And you may say, well, that's not a big difference. It was to us. So we put down as kind of a core value statement of who we are, our vision statement, I guess maybe a better way, is True North is a church with a heart for the unchurched. And here's why that made a difference to us, because here's what we see in Scripture, what we believe, that we are a church. In other words, we're a group of believers. Remember, we spent a lot of time, you heard in those early days, talking about the word ecclesia, that the word church really isn't even in Scripture. Ecclesia is the word, and that word means a gathering around a common heart, common purpose. And so we're a gathering, and we recognize that as the church, we are responsible to be growing together, to mature. And if the church isn't healthy as the ecclesia, as a gathering, they're really not going to do a very good job on the other side of that, of having a heart for the unchurched. Because, you know, if we have nothing to offer, then we shouldn't be offering. Because we don't want to take them down the wrong path. So we recognize we have to make sure that we're working hard on the church side, helping us to grow and become healthy in our relationship with God so that we can continually love the unchurched, those who don't know, and remain sensitive. I mean, part of our whole thought process all along, even in this remodel, was, you know, when folks that are not mature in the Lord, that really don't understand God and don't, you know, to the point where they're in this position where they don't really care about external circumstances because they just care about God and wanting to study His Word together. But those people that are not there yet, we want them to come here and say, oh, this is a nice place. And then maybe stay because of that so that they can come to know our Lord. And so that is where that come from. And then that became our passion, our vision. And it's on, you know, I have a business card. You can grab them out there, but it says that on the front. That's who we are. We are a church with a heart for the unchurched. And we believe that should be part of our vision, our passion as a church. Then you also heard in that letter then, as we processed this, we thought, okay, and we borrowed these. So in fact, probably none of this is original. A lot of it's from the Word of God. But we came up with, okay, core values. How do we become healthy as a church? And here's what we saw in the Word of God. And so we said, okay, here's our core values. First of all, is to connect. And you notice the diagram there. First of all, the vertical. Our first mission is to connect people, to connect to God, to help the ones who come through our door and everyone that is part of this body to understand God's heart for them, that he loves you and I, that he loved us so much that he stepped into our world, that he took it upon himself to make payment for our sins so he could provide forgiveness for us as a gift that has no strings attached. I was able to share that with that young woman this week, that there's no strings attached. This is a gift. All the things you've heard in the past, all the hoops that you were told you had to jump through, no, you don't jump through those. You either accept it or you reject it, but it's a gift. And so we want to connect people to God, and then that horizontal, what we talked about during communion, connect to each other, to love each other, to guard unity, to be careful not to do things that are destructive to our body life and might hurt each other, I mean, in ways that are not healthy or productive. So that became our first core value. And then we said, you know, it's really interesting, and we won't go into this morning, but in Ephesians, I believe it's Ephesians 5, he talks about a process. He talks about why God even gave pastors and teachers and those kind of people to the church. And then he goes through this whole list. He says that it is to, after this list, to help them mature, help us mature in the Lord. But it's really amazing because in that process, a huge part from the Word of God is, if I'm going to grow, if you're going to grow in the Lord, then a huge part of why people grow or don't grow. You know, sometimes I'll hear people say, my Christian life's kind of stagnant. I don't know what happened, but it's really, you know, it's a part of it, but it's just nothing's really happening. Well, my suspicion when someone says that is that this is not a part of what they are. Because the Bible makes clear in that passage that serving is the opposite side of the coin of maturing. I can't grow if I'm not serving. And that's why we talk about it. That's why we talk about opportunities in the church. And it's not just in the church. It can be in the community, representing Christ. And so you're involved, and a lot of you are. You're involved in projects in this community where you're serving, because serving helps us grow. And serving each other, serving our community, that's a major part. And so we said that's a core value, that we're helping each other, encouraging each other, sometimes kicking each other in the butt a little bit to, you know, get serving, get a part of something. Be don't just warm a seat. And then we said we have the core value of giving, and giving of yourself. That's a big part of that, obviously, and that ties in with serving. And but then also just giving financially, because this is the world we're in, and so you're. And I talked to you a lot about what your financial gifts are doing, not only here in this church, but around the world. So that's a big part about it. And then as you give of yourself. And then last we said invite. And, you know, it's really interesting. I probably get 20 things come across my computer a weekly on things that churches need to do to get their name out there. You know, and a lot of them come with, you know, if you'll pay us $20, we'll do this, and you know, a lot of that kind of stuff. But from the history of the church, from that very first day in Acts chapter 2, primarily when it comes to growth in the church, and remember, growth in the church, our goal as True North Church is not simply to get larger. We want to get larger, but mostly what we really want to see is we're getting larger because people are coming to Christ. But the reality is it's not advertising. I mean, we're in an area, we're on social media. We try to do those things to let them know what God is doing here. But primarily, it's going to be about you and me, and really about how we're doing as a church. If you're, you know, if you're thinking, oh, I don't know, I don't think right now I want to invite anybody because Pastor Paul's been on this rampage lately and it's always beating on us. And so I'd like to invite my neighbors, but I don't think so. Maybe when he's done with this series, I'll invite my neighbor. You know, if that's kind of going on, then so we want to be a church that you feel really comfortable, that you know that you could invite people you care about. And when they come here, like the letter said, they're going to hear about grace and love, the heart of God for them. And so I'm hoping we're that kind of church. But mostly what we want to do is we want to invite people into that relationship with Jesus Christ. Later on in the book of Acts, it's really interesting. It didn't take long. Here we are. We're in chapter 10 of Acts. I think it's chapter 10. Let me look here. Yeah, chapter 15. So we're early in the history of the church. It didn't take long at all. One of the things Stanley says in one of his books is the church always moves towards complexity. That's the natural inclination. We take something that's simple and we make it complexed. And it probably isn't fair to put that just in the church. It's part of life, but you know, we make things harder and harder. And it was already happening to the church, the early church. It wasn't long until they started saying, well, yeah, people need to come to Christ, but you know, we want to make sure they're good Christians. So how do we tell if they're a good Christian? Well, we don't even tell if they're a good Christian if they're doing this. And pretty soon the list is starting to grow. And Paul sees it. And Paul, you know, who had came out of that religious environment where it was all about lists and rules and regulations he sees what's happening. He's really sensitive to this. And so he comes before the church, and Peter does as well, before the leaders of the church, and they say, you know, what are we doing here? Why are we adding this stuff? And so they had a council, and in the end of the council, here's what they came to, and here's I have this on the back of my card. And this is really, I think, what we continually need to grab onto as a church. And it says, it is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for people who are turning to God. That should never be a hard thing. The good news is a simple message. God so loved the world that he gave his son. When we start making it harder than that, we're heading down the wrong path. I'm so proud to be a part of this church. And I don't know what God has in mind this coming year and the years ahead. I know if we stay on track, if we keep our heart wrapped up in the right things, then we'll be able to serve his purpose, which is what we want to do. It's not about our goals, our purpose. It's about what he has in mind. And so pray with me together, and let's serve together, and let's reach out together, and let's be the body that shines the light in the community. Thank you, Father, for just the opportunity to step back, to remind ourselves, to walk again into who we are as True North Church. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of this body of believers and the way you're touching lives, both within the walls of this church, but there are ministries and folks in this church that are involved in opportunities in this community that are touching lives all the time, and I'm so grateful for that. And even as you allow us to reach out into the world, other parts of our own country, thank you, Lord, for that that special time that you set up, which for us seemed to be such a disappointment for the three guys that were a part of it that day, when we just wondered, why did we come all this way to now waste a day? And you were saying, oh, you have no idea. Thanks for the future. Lord, I don't know what you have in mind for the future, but I know as long as we stay in touch with your heart, and as long as our goal, our drive is, Lord, to serve you, that you'll bless us. And that what that blessing means, don't even know how to define that, except that we will know that we are pleasing you, and that's what we want to do. Thank you for these folks. Now, Lord, as we move out from this room and into this world, this community around us, help us to represent you well. Help people to know how much you love them because we love them well. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. You are dismissed. Yeah.